It's Morning Edition from New Hampshire Public Radio. One of the longest-serving Democrats in the New Hampshire legislature, Representative Dan Eaton of Stoddard, was reprimanded earlier this year after a State House employee reported that he had engaged in a long pattern of behavior that created a, quote, hostile work environment. Most of the details of that complaint were included in a set of documents the House recently released to NHPR, except that is for Eaton's name. NHPR reporter Casey McDermott independently verified who the complaint was about, but she says the matter also highlights how hard it can be for voters to know if elected officials have been credibly accused of misconduct. And she joins us now to talk more about her reporting. Good morning, Casey.
Hey, Rick.
So, Casey, can you tell us more about this specific complaint involving Eaton?
Sure. So it was included in a set of documents that the House recently released to NHPR in response to a request that we sent them for records related to the State House's anti-harassment policy. Now, none of those complaints that the House gave us identified any of the lawmakers involved, even in cases where those lawmakers were found to have engaged in some kind of misconduct. I was able to verify that Representative Eaton was the subject of this particular complaint by speaking with several sources who had direct knowledge of that situation. And just for context, Eaton is one of the longest serving members of the House. He's had a seat on the powerful House Finance Committee for years, and he's also served on the state Democratic Party's Executive Committee. You know, in short, he's well known in Concord and definitely not, you know, a backbencher by any means.
Mm-hmm. And what did the complaint specifically say?
So a staffer came forward to report that Eaton, who, again, isn't identified by name in the document itself, but we've verified that he's the subject of the complaint, that he made a series of derogatory and, I think it's fair to say, misogynistic remarks to this staffer to the point that it became, in her words, intimidating and abusive.
What kind of things was he saying?
The complaint says that he called the staffer things like the old bat, the granny in the corner, and the breaking point kind of came when he came in her office and told another colleague that if he really wanted to make this person, this staffer, mad, he should say, quote, "I'm a man and I suck," because he said this staffer hates all men.
Okay. What does Eaton have to say about this?
So he didn't return any of my messages, but according to the memos that we have about the situation, he didn't deny saying those things to the staffer, though he complained that they were just bantering, that they have kind of a brother and sister relationship, even though, according to the complaint, this staffer clearly didn't see it the same way. The House Chief of Staff, who handles these kinds of complaints, basically got Eaton's assurance that he wouldn't do it again, that he wouldn't retaliate against the staffer for bringing the issue forward. And the Chief of Staff also suggested that Eaton seek out some state-sponsored training on these kinds of issues, but it's unclear whether that actually ended up happening.
Okay, Casey, so you mentioned that the documents the House disclosed didn't name Eaton or any other lawmaker, for that matter, who's been accused. Why is that?
So the House says that they're just following policy, that they're trying to protect the privacy of everyone involved, and that includes the lawmakers who've been accused of these things. They argue that even if they're not telling us the specific lawmakers in each instance, that they're still sending a message about what kind of standards they expect people to follow by releasing the complaints that detail kind of the behavior. At the same time, though, the same House leadership has taken the position that basically there's only so much that they can do to hold any given lawmaker accountable for their actions, that it's up to other members of the legislature who can discipline their colleagues. But it's important to note that they only have done that in very rare occasions. Or it's up to voters who decide whether to send those lawmakers back to Concord every 2 years in the elections.
But if no one knows whether a legislator has been accused of misconduct in the first place, you know.
Exactly. It's pretty tough to expect the public to be able to hold lawmakers accountable for things like this if they don't know that it's going on in the first place. And, you know, the system, it's also worth noting, makes it really, really hard to know if there are any lawmakers out there who've been the subject of multiple complaints as well.
Is there any initiative here to change this system?
So for now, the House doesn't really seem to be budging on the disclosure side of things. But the House Chief of Staff did tell me that it's likely that he's going to start handing off more of these complaints to the Attorney General's office to investigate. So we'll see if that happens. And if so, whether that ends up bringing any changes in transparency.
Okay. Thanks, Casey.
Thanks, Rick.
You can read Casey's full report on the Eaton complaint and how the State House handles these sorts of complaints more broadly online at nhpr.org. And this is Morning Edition from New Hampshire Public Radio.